Okay.
Let's begin. Some beeping here. What is that? I don't know what that beeping is.
And in two places.
You hear? You have it on your phone also?
There we go. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. As we know, yesterday was Yom HaTzmaut, celebrating the 72nd anniversary of the establishment of the Jewish sovereignty in Eretz Yisrael, for the first time in some 2,000 years, certainly significant. And in connection, therefore, with that occasion yesterday, and in connection with both of the sedras that we'll read, or that are assigned to this particular Shabbos, post both Parshas Achramos and Parshas Kedoshim, I thought it would be appropriate to speak about Eretz Yisrael. I entitled the Shir, Connecting to Eretz Yisrael When Living in Chutz Laaretz. Very interesting. We look in the first source, and again, the sources are in the chat room here. The first source comes from the area end of the Seder Achrimos, Vayikra Perek Yud Ches, starting in Pasuk Chav Dalet. After the Torah presents the laws of the Arayos, the forbidden sexual relationships, such as adultery, incest, and the like, Pasuk says, Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Chav Dalet, Al titam b'chol eile, do not defile yourself with all these types of activities, ki b'chol eile nitmu agoyim ashanim ishalach mipnechem, because the non-Jews who live in the land presently, before you come in, they engage in these types of activities, and it defiles and impurifies the land. The land is vomiting out, is spitting it out to people. So apparently, certain types of avarice, at least, cause the land itself to spit out the people who engage in these activities. And therefore, in Pasuk Chavov, it says, Ushmartem atem, therefore, you better not engage in these activities, because again, they did these activities, the land became impure, and because otherwise, the land is going to spit you out too. You better not engage in these activities so that you won't be vomited out of the land either. So Rashi explains in the second source, in Parak Yuchas Pasuk Hei Velo Saki Aretz Eschem, gives an example of somebody who Moshe Ben Melech Shechilu Dover Mos, somebody ate something disgusting or something was rotten and it was damaging to the person's stomach, right? It was, didn't agree with him. So ain't Omeid B'Meh Velo Makio. The body works, that whatever you ate doesn't stay in your system, you vomit it out. So same thing, Kach Eretz Yisrael, ain't Omeid Kayemes Over Avera. Eretz Yisrael also cannot stomach, so to speak, people who do averas, okay? And that's what it means. The land will empty itself out of such people. That's Rashi to make that up. It's from the Sifra and Kedoshim, Parshadal, Perkut Beis, and or Os Yudalad, gives the saying, gives this mushal that somehow the land of Eretz Yisrael itself cannot, will not tolerate certain types of behavior. The Ramban on this pasuk, Perek Yud Ches of Yirka Pasuk Chafei, takes the opportunity to speak about the significance and uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael. I didn't quote the entire Ramban here in Source 4, but you can look at part of it, right? It says, after all, if you think about it, the Ramban says the laws of the Arayos, of the prohibited sexual relations, are not limited to Eretz Yisrael. They apply in Chutz Laaretz too, right? Bnei Arayos in the second line, Chovas Haguf Eino Tlus Baaretz, right? The prohibited sexual relationships, incest, adultery, that's also in Chutz Laaretz and in Eretz Yisrael, nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. Avos Soda Dover, but there's something special that this is the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a particular relationship with. Even though Ki Hashem Anichbad Bar HaKoli created the entire world, the entire universe, nevertheless, he has particular relation with Eretz Yisrael, because in Eretz Yisrael, he does not give Eretz Yisrael to the control of other forces. It speaks about Malachim. I won't go into it now exactly what he means based on Psukim elsewhere in the Torah, but the bottom line is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a direct relation with Eretz Yisrael. And he says in the second paragraph, for four, again, I did not quote the entire Ramban, B'nei Hashem HaNichbar Hu Elokei Elokim Adonai Adonai L'chol HaOlam, Aval Eretz Yisrael Em Tzos HaYishuv Hi Nachlas Hashem Yuchedos Shishmo. Even though the whole world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but there's something special. Eretz Yisrael is like his hometown, so to speak, his particular place. And therefore, V'lo Nosan Alamin HaMalachim, none of the angels have shlita, have control there. And in Chutz Laaretz, even though it belongs to him, something is missing. And therefore, at the end, the Rabban writes, therefore, the Eretz Yisrael cannot stomach, so to speak, and will therefore vomit out people who behave a certain way against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the idea. And it's something unique about Eretz Yisrael. Also, too, by the way, in the end of Parshas Kedoshim, the second Seder of this week, in Parakof, Pasuk Chav Beis, very similar wording. Ushmartem is kol chukosai v'es kol mishmatai v'asim asam v'lo soki eschem ha'aretz asherne v'eschem shoma lo sheves bo. Observe all the mitzvahs so you won't be spit out or vomited out of the land. The non-Jews who lived there, they did all these things. Rashi says, Gimel 6, I found it disgusting, right? And therefore I say to you in Chav Dalet, I'm giving you this land and so on, you'll settle it in their place. Now what's interesting is, and Rav Soloveitchik pointed this out, that actually this is a depressing point that comes up here in the end of Parshas Achrimos, and again, the end of Parshas Kedoshim in a brief reform, namely, that for the first time in the Torah, we are told here that our right to Eretz Yisrael isn't permanent, that we can, in fact, get expelled from the land if we don't do the mitzvahs properly. This is the first time. Throughout all of Sefer Bereishis, all the Haftachos to the Avos, and Moshe Rabbeinu and Mitzrayim, you know, Eretz Zavas Chalav Dvash, and so on and so forth, right? It's the land's going to be given to us, right? And all of a sudden here in Parshas Achrimos, we find out, well, yeah, land is going to be given to you, but there's a potential for you to get thrown out of the land if you don't behave properly. So that's, as I say, depressing, especially since we know it did happen, right? So the Rav simply noted that here in Parshas Achrimos, for the very first time, we find out that our right to Eretz Yisrael has strings attached. Okay, it's not automatic. It's given to the Avos, okay, and the Haftacha, Eretz Avas Chalav Dvash, spoken to Moshe Rabbeinu, but we can get thrown out. And the Rav used that to explain a very fascinating practice that we have. In source number 7, is a couple of psukim from the Haftorah of this of Parshas Achrimos. It comes from the end of Sefer Amos, Amos Perek Tes, okay, where Halo Kivnei Kushiyim Atemli, those are the opening words. And the Perek Tes of Amos Pasuk Zion. It's a very short haftarah. It's only 8 psukim. I got half of it printed right here. Right, the last couple of psukim. You give me your Dalat Tesvav. Look at 7. Hinei yomim boim num Hashem. Right, days are coming. The Navi prophesied. Right, v'nigash choresh bakotzer. Right, the person who is plowing will meet up with the person who's harvesting. There'll be such a bountiful and plentiful harvest that you'll be harvesting already the next planting cycle starting. That's finished already harvesting, etc., etc. Right? The Hitifa Haramasis and so on, the mountains and the land will produce wonderful produce. And Pasuk Yudal, the beautiful Haftocha, the Shavti Yeshus Hami Yisrael, I will bring that back, the Jewish people. Uvanu Aram Neshamas, they'll rebuild the destroyed and desolate cities. Vinatu Kromim, they'll plant vineyards. Vishasuas Yenam, Vasuganas, Vachos Priam, as Priam. They'll plant vineyards and benefit from the wine. They'll plant gardens and benefit from the fruit and so on. And the last Pasuk Haftar Tezvav, Unetatim Alad Mosam, I will replant them in the land. Velo Yenoshu Old Malad Mosam, the day will come, and eventually they'll never be thrown out of the land again. That's the Haftorah for Parshas Achrimos. What's interesting is, okay, the Mordechai and many other Rishonim, especially Minhagim Sarm from the Rishonim, already point out the following. The Mordechai here is in Megillah in Source 8, in the last parak in Remez Tuf Lamed Aleph, and it's as many of the classics, the Maharil and the Minhag Eklaus and other Minhagim, Sifrei Minhagim from the Rishonim, quote the following. 8. Of Minhagim Matsosi, the following. I found the following. Kol Parshios Hasmuchos. Whenever you, generally speaking, when you have a double Sedra, right? The double Sedra last week was Tazria Mitzora. A bunch of weeks ago, Reachal Pekude. Next, not next week, but 2 weeks, Bahar B'chukos. Sometimes we have double Sedras. When there's a double Sedra, generally speaking, the Haftorah comes from the second Sedra. The Haftorah comes from the second Sedra. Okay, when it's a double, not only when we take out 2 Sifrei Torah, and from the second Sefer Torah, that's when Haftorah matches what's read from the second Sefer Torah. This is a related but different thing. When we have a double Sedra, the Haftorah comes from the second Sedra. It's a general rule. Says the Mordechai, Chutz me'achremos kedoshim. The exception is this week. When Achremos and Kedoshim are doubled up, Sha'oz maftirim ha'alo kivnei kushim, she'aftarah shal parsh rishona. We read the Haftorah of Achremos, that we just saw, ha'alo kivnei kushim, from Amos. Okay? That's the one exception. Last week, Tazria Mitzorah, last week happened to be Rosh Chodesh, so we would not have read the Haftarah of either Tazria or Mitzorah. But if it wouldn't have been Rosh Chodesh, okay, if it wouldn't have been Rosh Chodesh, so we would have read the Haftarah of Mitzorah. In a couple of weeks, it'll be Bahar B'chukosai, we'll read the Haftarah of B'chukosai. But the one exception of the Achremos Kedoshim, why? So the Mordechai says, and something that we've shown him right, Mipnei Shaftar shall parsha shnia maskaras mitovos Yerushalayim. The second haftarah that puts printed as haftarah of kedoshim is a depressing haftarah. You know, it talks about the abominable behavior of people in Yerushalayim and so on. So we have an excuse to avoid it. We avoid it. In the Shulchan Aruch, this din appears in Tov Chavches of Aruchim Sivches. The Ramah brings it in 9. Ukshakorin Beis Parshios Maftirim Ba'achrona. General rule: 2 sedras, double sedra, we read the second haftarah for the second one. But Bilvad Ba'achemos Kedoshim. Again, Achemos Kedoshim is the exception. The Maftirin Halok Kivnei Kushim. We read the Halok Kivnei Kushim from Amos. I printed in Surah 7. Okay, Shehi Haftaras Achemos. That's the Minhagim. Now, the Lavush has an interesting discussion. I'm not going to read inside. The Lavush is an Aruch Chaim Siman Tov Tzadi Gimel Sif Dalet Source 10. It's a long piece from the Lavush. The Lavush begins by saying that the Haftarah, it talks about the Haftarah matches the Torah reading because it speaks about in the Torah reading Kemais Eretz Mitzrayim, the abominable deeds done by those who came before us and so on. So the relation of that in the opening psukim of the Haftarah, and again below Sukkiy Eretz Yisrael, the land shouldn't spit you out, and in the days of Amos they did these kinds of things and so on. From that point of view, he says that the other Haftarah of Kedoshim V'atah Ben Adam Asishpot, that's one, or there's another one that's also different to Minhagim for Parshas Kedoshim. He says it also relates in a certain sense, okay, to the second Sedra too. In other words, the Haftarah of Achrei Mos, those words match the theme of the second Sedra too. He says, as he says, it fits with that as well, okay. And he then goes on to say, and that's why it's okay to read Halok Kivnei Kushim, even when Achrei Mos Kedoshim are doubled up, we can read it for the Haftarah of Achrei Mos, because the theme matches the end. And as I showed you before, you take a look at the Psukim in source number 8, or source number 5 rather, from the Psukim that end Kedoshim, and the Psukim in source number 1, Achrei Mos, are very similar. So the language works. Now, the Lavush then goes on to say he thinks the whole thing is a big mistake, however. He thinks that, in fact, Halok Kivnei Kushim naturally should be the Haftarah of Kedoshim, not the way it's printed in the Chumashim, or not the way it's printed in most Chumashim. He said it is the Haftarah for Kedoshim. And Achrei Mos is the other one, and therefore, this is not an exception to the rule. Okay, that's what he says. That's the minority view. Okay, look, in most Chumashim, that's not accepted. Okay, and the general practice is that we read Halok Kivnei Kushim for Achrei Mos, and when Achrei Mos and Kedoshim are doubled up, we read the Haftarah of Achrei Mos, an exception to the rule. That's how the Mishnah Berurah also brings to us 11 Siman Tov Chav Ches or Chaim Siv Katan Chav Vav. He says, Shehi Haftarah Achrei Mos. We read the Haftarah of Achrei Mos even when Achrei Mos and Kedoshim are doubled up. May Shaftarah Shal Parsha Shnei Maskar Tov Es Yerushalayim. Okay, Mashenu Ken Kishni Frados Shekar Karo Halok Kivnei Kushim. Then it's okay. You can read the other Haftarah for Kedoshim. He mentioned Lavush disagrees and so on. Now, at the end, though, he quotes something from Akiva Eger. And he says, and this is sometimes the following, it's a Chiddush. He said, some years, Achrei Mos and Kedoshim are separate, but Achrei Mos is the Erev Rosh Chodesh of Iyar. Okay, that I think, it happens when Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, that unusual year. So when Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, so the... I think the Haftarah of Achrei Mos is Erev Rosh Chodesh. Erev Rosh Chodesh, of course, is Sunday. Not like last week's Friday Shabbos, but it's Sunday. So he said, then we won't read for Achrei Mos the Haftarah of Halok Kivnei Kushim because it's Erev Rosh Chodesh. We read Machor Chodesh. But the following week for Kedoshim, you'll read Achrei Mos' Haftarah. So not only when it's doubled up, that's what Mishnah Berurah says at the end, right? He says, "V'hu adin im Shabbos Parshas Achrei haya Erev Rosh Chodesh u'maftirin Machor Chodesh maftirin b'Shabbos Parshas Kedoshim halok kivnei kushim." So again, you apparently don't leave out a scenario he doesn't mention happens every once in a while. Also, when Erev Pesach lands on Shabbos, it's sometimes Parshas Achrei Mos, Shabbos Hagadol. Okay, next year will be Erev Pesach lands on Shabbos, but it's not a leap year, so it's Parshas Tzav. But sometimes it's a leap year also, so it's Parshas Achrei Mos, and you read the Haftarah for Shabbos Hagadol. So then again, for Kedoshim, you'll read Halok Kivnei Kushim. Apparently, we never want to leave out Halok Kivnei Kushim. So the reason the Rishonim gave is because you don't really like the Haftarah of Kedoshim too much. But the Rav said something different to come full circle. The Rav said, it's not so much, not only that we don't want to read the Parshas of the Haftarah of Kedoshim, but we can avoid it. It's because we don't want to not read the Haftarah of Halok Kivnei Kushim. Why? Because of what we said before. Since the Parshas Achrei Mos introduces for the first time that we have the potential to be thrown out of Eretz Yisrael, right? The first time the Torah that appears. So that's a depressing point. So we need the words of the comfort of the Navi. Look back in 7, the last words of Amos there, in Perek Tes of Amos, Pasuk Tes Vav, Kadosh Baruch says, "Unetaiti malad mosam, v'lo yinashu od malad mosam." That in the future, there'll come a time we'll be brought back there, so we won't be thrown out again. So therefore, it's an encouraging point. So the Rav said, we never want to leave out Achrei Moses Haftarah. We can't go through reading those psukim and Achrei Moses and finding out that we could get kicked out. And we not only could, we did get kicked out, without coming through with the words of Nechama, that eventually will be brought back and never be driven out again. I think it's a very, very beautiful pshat. In fact, in some rare years, I think Achrei Moses and Kedoshim are separate, and it's not a special, and some people read Alo Kivnei Kushim twice, that I'm with, 2 weeks in a row. But in any event, that's the interpretation of the Rav. So I just thought that it was a very beautiful way to start the shir, and you know, emphasize this point that here in Achrei Moses we find we can get driven out of the land, and we did get driven out of the land, but there's a haftacha from the haftarah that we never want to miss that haftarah, and you know, they're almost telling us we'll get back to the land eventually, and we'll never be driven out again. So the question I'd like to look at now, just in terms of halacha, so those of us who are not Zoche to live in Eretz Yisrael right now, for whatever the reason, we have good reasons, okay, we're not in Eretz Yisrael. How do we relate or connect? How can we sort of connect to Eretz Yisrael when we don't live there? Is there a way that a person can be Mekayim, some kind of connection to Eretz Yisrael without living there? So first, would seem to be that there is in fact a mitzvah to just be in Eretz Yisrael, to even visit, even for a relatively short period of time. So the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Perek Membeis, Pasuk 8:12, at the end of the Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give Ruach laholchim bam. So the Gemara in Ksubos, Kufyur Aleph, Mar Aleph, Source 13, says, Ruach laholchim, Amar B'yirmi, B'abar B'yokhan, Kolam Ahalech, Arba Amos, Beretz Yisrael, Muvtach Lo, Shehu Ben Olam Abo. Okay? The Gemara says in Ksubas that someone who just walks 4 paces in Eretz Yisrael means you're not living there, you're just there for a moment, right? It means for a relatively short period of time, you already get credit, so to speak, you usually get a share in Olam Haba. And the Maharal Miprag explains in his Chiddush HaGadol to Ksubas, Kufyud Avonah 14, I'll say it outside, he says, he points out that there's a connection between Olam Haba and Eretz Yisrael. Olam Haba is also referred to as Eretz, you know, Olam Yershu Eretz, or Eretz, okay? And therefore, he says that there's a special relationship, and therefore, somebody, connects you to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, connects you to Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, it would seem from this Maharal, based on this Gemara, that even being in Eretz Yisrael for a relatively short period of time, just as long as it takes to walk 4 paces, you already have some connection. So that's certainly something that we can do. Living in Chutzal, we can visit Eretz Yisrael. Okay, right now might be questionable, but in general, we can visit Eretz Yisrael, even though we're planning to come back. And the truth of the matter is that may well be classified or may qualify as a mitzvah. I'd like to look at that briefly now. Okay, the Rambam brings us halacha, by the way. If you look in 15, Parak Hey of Hilchos Malacha, Malacha Yud Aleph, Amru Chacham Kol HaShochein Be'eretz Yisrael Avonoso Mechulin, anyone who dwells in Eretz Yisrael, your sins are forgiven. And then the Rambam writes, this based on this Gemara, Afilo Halach Ba'arba Amos Zoch L'Chalam Abba. So again, even it would seem for a non-permanent reason or non-permanent stay, there's still value to visiting Eretz Yisrael, and you can connect to Eretz Yisrael even without living there. You live in Chutzlitz, but you at least visit there. The Gemara in Shabbos Yud Tes Malav talks about a din. There's a whole question whether it's applicability today, but in source number 16, the Rambam Shabbos Yud Tes, the Gemara Shabbos Yud Tes Malav Tanur Abonon, you're not supposed to set out on a journey on a boat within 3 days before Shabbos. I mean, Wednesday or Thursday, whatever, within Shabbos is the third day, or Shabbos after the third day, not our issue now in detail. The Gemara says, Ein mafligin b'sinim b'hachos moshim kol ha Shabbos, okay, but b'meh dvar mamul dvar harshus. That's if the trip is for an optional activity, dvar harshus. Aval dvar mitzvah, if the trip is needed for a mitzvah, then shabbos, then it's okay. That's how Rashi explains, mafligin mafrishman harshus, you leave land, right, you go for on a journey, okay? And it doesn't say in the Gemara why, but the Rif explains the reason why. On Zion and Beis, in the page of the Rif in Shabbos, source 18, the Rif says that the reason is Mishum Bitul Mitzvahs Oneg Shabbos. Okay, because it's going to lead you to very likely or very possibly not to be able to mekayim the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. Why? The Chol Gimel Yom Mahavle Shinu Veses Mishum Nianu Asina. He says for the first couple of days, it takes the body, or for many people, it takes the body a few days to get used to the change in, you know, the what we call, you get seasick, right? The boat moves, it sways back and forth, especially in those days they didn't have the kind of, you know, sturdy ships that we have. So he went on a journey. So very often, the first couple of days, you got seasick. And therefore, you'll be too sick to enjoy Shabbos properly. After 3 days, your body's used to it already. so therefore it's not a problem. So he says, you know, mishum nanua hasfina, the boat, you know, sways around. So you rely on the mebet onik Shabbos properly. After 3 days, you're more used to it. You can mekayim onik Shabbos. Therefore, don't set out on a trip because you'll end up not being able to properly observe onik Shabbos. That's the rifts. He's about more there in Shabbos Zion and Aleph from the page Rif going over to Zion and Beis. A little bit here, rather about more as a different reason. He says because the first 3 days till everyone gets used to what they're doing and navigating the ocean and so on, so there's more likely that they'll have to do malacha, and or the guard will have to do malacha on behalf of you who's a Jewish passenger. See, that's a different reason. Whatever the reason is, that is the din. The Rambam brings in Hilchos Shabbos Perek Lamed Halacha Yud Gimel 20. He says, we play there on the second line. Ein mafligin b'sfina pachos mishlosh yom kodem haShabbos kedei shetisyai shev dato alav. So you'll calm down. You'll be, you know, you'll be calm physically and mentally. You'll be calm, and therefore kodem Shabbos lo yitzar yoter midayin. It won't bother you too much. You'll be able to, you know, to do a mitzvah. However, if that's again, the Rambam says that's only if the purpose of the trip is anyway dvar rishus. Well, the purpose of the trip is a mitzvah. So that goof is a mitzvah. Then you can go. And this din appears in the Shulchan Aruch as well. Okay, in Or Chaim Hilchos Shabbos Sim Reish Mem Ches Sif Aleph Mutur LaHaflik B'Sfina Afilu BeErev Shabbos Im Holach LeDvar Mitzvah. You're allowed to leave on a trip even on Friday if you're going for a Dvar Mitzvah. Aval Dvar Rishus Ein Mafling L'Sfina Pachos Migil Yom Kodem HaShabbos. And Sif Beis explains why Hatam Mishum Onik Shabbos, because Shekol Shlosh Yom Rishonim Yesh Lam Tzar UBilbul. The first few days, you know, you're uncomfortable and you're mixed up and you're not, you know, okay. And the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat Aleph explains the Hainu, for a Dvar Mitzvah, you can go even on Erev Shabbos. Why? Because even though you may not, after Bavadalei Kaim Onik Shabbos, you're not going to be able to enjoy Shabbos. You said on a trip Friday afternoon, you're not going to feel it, not going to enjoy Shabbos, right? But still, it's Mutter, came to the Tzarek Mitzvah, Kaimon, the Osek Mitzvah, Potter Mitzvah, because you're going to do a different Mitzvah. So that, and a Hanami, maybe you won't have Onik Shabbos, but you're allowed to do it because of, you know, because you're going for the purpose of Mitzvah, Osek Mitzvah, Potter Mitzvah. Now, it's interesting because the Rivash in the Tshuva, so that's the din. The Rivash in the Tshuva, so Rivash in Kuf Aleph 23, says, listen to this, he says, V'achrei shel edvar mitzvah mutar, afilu b'erev Shabbos, ein sofek shehaliyah l'eretz Yisrael mitzvah. And he doesn't mean making, in modern terms, aliyah means going, you know, to live there, making aliyah. He means going to Eretz Yisrael, just going on a trip to Eretz Yisrael. That's called the dvar mitzvah. All right, and he goes, how do I know that he means not only if you're planning to live there? Because he quotes the Gemara on the second line, the Gemara v'chein amrusham kolam halach dar amos peret so move to lachusman ababa. In other words, he's saying not only if you're going for a permanent trip to Eretz Yisrael, aliyah. What he means, oled, at any time a person goes to Eretz Yisrael, you're going up, right? Laalos, we have the chumash, right? That by Yosef and the brothers, it says maharu alu elavi, right? Go up. Okay, so it means you're going up. So, and you're leaving, it's Vayered, Rabbi Yered, Yosef Asar, when you leave Eretz Yisrael. But anyway, the point is that it doesn't mean making a permanent move to Eretz Yisrael, that too, but even going for a temporary purpose. Okay, so, and he says, even though the real mitzvah is yeshiva to live there, still, so according to the Rivash, okay, as well, you see pretty clearly that going to Eretz Yisrael, even for a temporary basis, is considered a mitzvah, enough of a mitzvah to be able to travel on Shabbos. Now, full disclosure, not everyone necessarily agrees with that, although we'll see. I had a discussion we've shown him. There's a pasuk in Tillim, in Parakuf Yotas, pasuk Kufavav, it's in the Tillim of the Tamnapi, that has eight times each letter. So Nun, it says, pasuk Kufavav, Nishbati ba'akayim alishmor mishpatei tzidkecha. I swear, that I can swear, I am swearing to fulfill all the mitzvahs. So the Gemara in the Darim, the Avzayin and the Bey is going over to Chesem and Aleph, discusses kind of what's the story if a person takes a shvua to be mekayim a mitzvah, right? Does that shvua make any sense? After all, you have to keep the mitzvah anyways, right? You're bound by the Torah to keep the mitzvah. So what value does a shvua to take a mitzvah have? Minayin shishbati kaim a mitzvah. The Gemara says yes. Shenemar this pasuk nishbati v'kayim a lishmor mishpat heitzim kecha. The Gemara says 1 second. V'halo mushma v'omed mehar Sinai. You already swore. You're already bound by the mitzvah from Har Sinai. That's not news that you have to keep this. So I take I'm going to take a shvua. I'm going to put on tefillin tomorrow. I have to put on tefillin tomorrow anyway. I'll take a shvua. I'm going to eat matzah on Pesach night. I have to eat matzah on Pesach night anyways. So what does it do? So again, el ha kamash from the shorla inchi leinish lezruze nafshi. It's just to give yourself extra encouragement. Sometimes a person needs that extra kick. Yeah, I know it's a mitzvah, but you know, I'm lazy, I'm tired, so I want to sleep late. So, you know, you give yourself, by taking a shul, and you know the importance of swearing and not swearing falsely, and it's a big avera. So that gives you an extra oomph to do the mitzvah. That's lezuzei nafshei. Same thing, Amar Gil Amar Rav, Omer, Ashkim v'eshna per exam. I'm going to get up, I'm going to learn the parak of Chumash, the parak of Mitzrayim. Eshra Mesechta Zuhai. I'm going to take an oath, I'm going to do this, and learn this Mesechta, learn Daf Yomi, whatever. Okay, Neder Godol Neder L'Kei Yisrael. That's a great Neder. Aye, what do you mean? He's supposed to learn anyway. Again, it's a Zuzei Ba'alma. Encourage yourself. That's a Rashi. You know, it's a question whether the Rashi in the Dharma is actually Rashi. But for our purposes, again, Lishova in 26, Komashlon, Lishova Kedei Lezarez Atzmo L'Kayem Es HaMitzvah. Okay, and that's halacha. The Rambam brings the halacha Hilchos Shavuos Parak Yud Aleph Halacha Gimel 27. Umutar la'adam lishov al hamitzvah la'asosa kedei lezaris es atzmo. V'yafal pi shumush b'alam harsina shenema nishpati v'kem lishmor mishpatei tzidkacha. This pasuk teaches you can take a nishpati. I can take a shuv lishmor mishpatei tzidkacha to observe the mitzvahs, to be mezaris yourself. And the same thing in the Shulchan Aruch Yoredeis in Reish Gimel Siv Vav Haomer Eshne Parakzeh. You're afraid, you know, you're going to get lazy. Oh, I hereby commit, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to learn that, and I realize that I may get lazy. So surely, leminder, lezuzin, after you can take a neder to you know, encourage yourself. You're afraid the Yetzer Hara will get the better. Yeah, I'm going to learn every day, I'm going to learn for an hour. The person makes, I'm going to learn for an hour every day. Yeah, but then this comes up, that comes up, you know what happens. So, you know, wears off after a while. So therefore, if you think you can encourage them by making it a nether, by taking a formal nether, formal shua, anything, stock, anything like that, so that's a good thing. Mitzvah Lishova Valindor, Kedei Lazari Zatzmo. Now, what does all this have to do with us? So we know that there's a concept called Hataras Nedarim. You can be released from a nether. Now we think about Hataras Nedarim on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Okay, you know, where we get together after davening and we're about to neder. That Hataras Nedarim is usually designed to cover a nedarim that I may have taken during the course of last year. I forgot all about it. Sometime last, November, I committed to do X, Y, and Z. I forgot all about it. So now it's a neder. I don't want that hanging over me as I come into Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. So we do Hataras Nedarim on Erev Rosh Hashanah. But Hataras Nedarim, of course, is not limited to Erev Rosh Hashanah. Sometimes a person took a nether, and I've been involved in a couple times, nothing to do with Erev Rosh Hashanah. A person took a nether, and we went gift stuck, and something happened financially, or whatever, things come up. I remember years ago when I was in yeshiva, a fellow came in to the Beis Medrash, and he looked like, you know, when he got completely, what we called in those days, I don't know if they still use his scalp, one of those haircuts, you know. So he said, he walked into the Beis Medrash, and why? He said, it has to do with Taras and Darm. Why? Because he was so, you know, he dozed off, he wasn't paying attention to what the barber was doing, and we saw the haircut, he said, I took a nether, I'm never going to get another haircut. I'm not, I was so angry. All right, so it was Hataras Nedarim. Fine. So there's an interesting question. If you took a neder to do a mitzvah, let's say a neder to give something to Hekdesh, or a neder to give stalker, is that also subject to Hataras Nedarim? So the Pasuk says, we know from Tillim, right, in Perek Kuf Zayin, it says a couple times, Nedarim Hashem HaShalayim Negda L'Chol, I'm going to keep all my Nedarim. So the Rambam says in Hilchos Nedarim, very end, Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Chafei 30, Avonidre Hekdesh Mitzvah L'Kaimon. Neder for Hekdesh, you know, for something a mitzvah oriented, that's a mitzvah to keep. The lo yishal el midochak. You should not try and get out of those unless it's mamish, a very pressing circumstance. Right? Those are you shouldn't get out of those in really pressing circumstances. Now, it works, as the Rambam says earlier in Hilchos Nedarim, Parak Daled, Halacha Zayin 31. Kashem shnishalom anidra iser umatirin oso, kach nishalom anidra hekdesh umatirin oso. Right? It does work. But you should try not to. Same thing in the Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Nedarim, in Yoredeis in Reish Gimel, Siv Gimel, 32. Avonidre Hekdesh Mitzvah Lekaimen, below Yishal Aleim Elamidochak. You should not try to get out of it unless it's mamish pressing. But in Sif Membeis, Noda Lisanos, let's say I took an Eddah to fast. I took an Eddah to fast. I have a yard site coming up, or I just stop. I want to do Tshuva, a fast Bahab, or something, which it is right now, right? I took an Eddah to do it. Then I wasn't feeling well. I realized I can't do it. The days are too long. So, Yeshua HaToy De Pesach Harata. You know, if you have some sort of Pesach, a reason why you should be released from it, and so on. So, there's a way, the ways to get out of it. All right. So, what does all this have to do with us? So, there's an interesting Tshuva from the Rosh in 33. Now we'll come to what's relevant to us. Klal Yud Beis Shubas Rosh Simon Zayin. Shasha'alta B'inyan Misha Nodar L'Leches L'Eretz Yisrael. Someone took a neder to go to Eretz Yisrael. All right? Says the Rosh. Da Sheyesh La'oso Neder HaTorah K'mo L'Shar Nedarim. You can be Mater Neder. You can be released in that vow just like any other neder. You go before three people who know what's going on with the Nedarim, and then you get the Hatar Zedarim. So that's as the Rush seems to be saying over there, that there is no particular mitzvah to go into Eretz Yisrael, right? Now, to say there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, it's hard to say. So presumably, at least for our purpose right now, presumably the Rush is saying, well, there's no mitzvah if you're not, if you're just going to visit. But Harai, he says, you took a neder, you can be released from the neder. And he says, Kimos L'shar Nedarim, like any other neder. So it's possible that the Rush would disagree with what we saw said before from the Rivash, from the Rivash back in 23, when the Rivash said going to Eretz Yisrael is Taka Mitzvah, and you can leave on Friday and everything else, right, to Mitzvah. Perhaps the Rush doesn't qualify this as a Nidre Mitzvah because he said it's subject to Hataras Adarim the same way as any other Nedar. Now, the Rashbash, that's the Rav Shlomo ben Shimon, Duran, the Duran family, okay, in Simon Beis, he was asked this question. Misha Nodalala Sartov and Ischarit in Yochol Lishol and Nidro. Tshuva, first he says, Aliyah L'Eretz Yisrael Mitzvah. He says, going to Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah. Okay, it's a mitzvah. Now, he says, really, you shouldn't try and get out of it. Even Charata, what do you mean? You have a Charata, you regret that you performed the mitzvah? But then he says, I saw the Tshuva's Harosh, he's after the Rosh, and I realize what the Rosh says, but he says that's really because, if you think about it, says the Rosh Bash, that's because the trip itself is not the mitzvah, right? That's like the Heksha mitzvah. That's like the Heksha mitzvah. Taking a trip to Eretz Yisrael, obviously to get there, you have to take the trip. But it's, for example, he mentions like building a sukkah, right? The mitzvah is to sit in the sukkah. There's no mitzvah per se to build a sukkah, or he says baking matzahs. Someone has to bake the matzahs in order to have matzahs or Pesach. But that's what he calls, and it's like a heksher mitzvah. So perhaps the Rosh is there. It's not, that's why the Rosh says it's subject to Hataras Adarim, because the guy said, I'm going to take a trip to Eretz Yisrael. Technically speaking, that's not the mitzvah. So he's saying the Rosh could agree that mamish visiting Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah, but in terms of Nedarim, because it's a prefatory stage, so that's different. That's a possibility. So he says at the end, the three lines of the bottom, Aliyah Eretz Yisrael ain't a gufa mitzvah, ela machshirim, she'en a mitzvah ela dira b'Eretz Yisrael, and so on. Now, the truth is, he seems to say that the only mitzvah really is if you're planning to live there. So even the Rashbash may be saying that just to go visit there may not be enough of a mitzvah. He says the Rosh doesn't mean when you're going to the trip, or going on a trip and you're not planning to stay there. He says the Dira, and that's how he learns. Okay, so perhaps it's only someone who is, he says, look at the last line, Inishpa sheyodur b'Eretz Yisrael. The guy's neder was, I'm going to live in Eretz Yisrael. That perhaps is not subject to Hataras Adarim, because that's got a mitzvah. So it could be that he would agree or disagree with Seven Rivash, and maybe that's the Rosh holds also, that just to visit, maybe that's not quite enough. The Maharit from the Trani family, also prominent to the poskim, Chuvas Maharit Chelek Beis, Chelek Yeredeis Simon Chof Ches, he says that the Rosh, the Iker Mitzvah, Eina Mitzvah Ba'aliyah El B'Yeshiva, it's living there. Now, what emerges from these sources is that maybe visiting is not enough, okay? And that's not a Shulchan Aruch Paskin. Sim Reish Chav Ches Tif Lamed Vav 36. Mishenodar Lalos L'Eretz Yisrael Yesh Hatar Kishar Nedar. That's based on the Rosh. The only thing is, you could say that this whole thing is not true. The whole thing is, there's a mitzvah to visit also. What does the Rosh mean? It means that just like we learned before, even by a Nidre mitzvah, it does work. You are allowed to be matir. You're not supposed to unless it's a pressing situation, but maybe that's all he meant. And that's how the Groh seems to understand, the Birar Groh. Sivkot and Kuf Beis 37, Mishanadar, Kemo Nidre Hektesh Yesh on Atar. At the end of the day, even a neder to do a mitzvah is subject to Atar. So that's maybe all the Rosh meant. He didn't mean that it's not a mitzvah to travel there. It's not a mitzvah in Kikin. That's how the Rashbash and the Marit, they said, well, there's no real mitzvah to go there, and it's not even mitzvah to visit there, perhaps. There's only mitzvah to live there. Yeah, but the Lav Dafka, that's what the Rosh meant. So it's possible that, but anyway, it's possible it's a machlokas where the visiting is enough. It's interesting if you look, yeah.
But the Marit clearly says, ain't Iker HaMitzvah, but he agrees
that's what he says, yeah.
To make Aliyah. I mean, I don't think he's arguing. I think he's agreeing with the Rivash originally. He says
maybe, you could say that. You could say
no mitzvah b'chlal for Aliyah. He didn't say that. He said it's very clear.
Right, okay, but he means that Iker HaMitzvah, that's your Medayik and over Iker HaMitzvah. Kenzain, these two opinions, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch Hichos Shabbos, Sim Reish Mem Ches Sif Dalad, so there, the Mechaber Paskin, the 38, Ha'ola L'Eretz Yisrael, in this Damnalo Shaira, right, you have an opportunity, a caravan or whatever, a ship that's going on Filiber of Shabbos, came in the Dvar Mitzvah, right, he calls it the Dvar Mitzvah, Yochol Lifrosh. Now the Magen Avraham says, well, let's see, is that true? Right, the Shulchan Aruch says you can go on the trip on Erev, excuse me, even on Erev Shabbos. The Magen Avraham in Simchat Tesvav 39 says that's v'dafka al das l'shyashev. That's only if you're planning to live there, not visiting. But then he says in the same breath, v'yesh omrim al menas l'achzir, I feel I'm even planning to come back. Okay, da filim mahalach da'aram t'etzom mitzvi. So there you have the two sides. Right, it sounds like the machlokas whether it's a mitzvah to visit or not. Okay, Magen Avraham says perhaps it's only you know mutter to go on Erev Shabbos and so on and so forth when you're going to live there to settle there permanently. That's your plan. But on the other hand, Yesh Omrim, if you plan to come back, that's what Machzor Shekel says. And he quotes that in Sukkot and Tezvav in 40. He quotes that Gemara Ksubas. Obviously, there's a mitzvah even Mahalach Dal Amos Beretz Yisrael. Right, so therefore, perhaps those are two sides. And the Mishnah Berurah brings also Sukkot and Chavches Yesh Omrim. Right? Even if you're going to come back, there's still a mitzvah. Now, just to look at the mitzvah, we can. I just want to throw in. We can interpret something else also. What exactly would the mitzvah be? It's very nice for the Gemara to say that. Yeah, you go for a short period of time, but misvara. What exactly is the mitzvah? In other words, what mitzvah is there? I understand the mitzvah to settle the land, but what mitzvah is there to just go visit Taka? In other words, yeah, it says you're a ben olam haba, and by the way, it could mean that's what some say, you're a ben olam haba, but it doesn't mean it's a mitzvah. Okay, but what exactly would the mitzvah be? So it's interesting, the mitzvah in general of settling in Eretz Yisrael is based on a pasuk in Parshas Maaseh 42, Perek Lamed Gimel, B'midbar Pasuk Nun Gimel, V'orashtem es'arz v'shavtem bo, k'lochem nasati es'arz l'resh l'soy, should dwell on the land and so on. So that's a famous pasuk. Rashi says that the pasuk simply means, Horashtem means in 43, if you drive out the current inhabitants, you'll be able to live there. They won't be bothering you. But the Ramban here in 44 is where he makes a famous statement. Ramban in Parshas Maaseh, B'midbar Parakalam, Gimel Pasuk, Nun Gimel 44. Horashtem is arts v'shavtem ba, al dati zu mitzvahs asei hi. Ramban says openly, leaving no room for no room for doubt, this is a mitzvah asei. It's one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Yitzava osam sheyeshu baretz, we're commanded to live in the land. The Yeshua saw inherit and so on, and we should not conquer another place before conquering Eretz Yisrael. And he goes into some of the things, you know, where the Chachamim say you always have to go live in Eretz Yisrael. And if a husband wants to leave and his wife doesn't want to come to Eretz Yisrael, so he can divorce without paying a ksuba. Or if she wants to leave, she can demand a ksuba and so on and so forth. And this mitzvah appears many times. That's the Ramban in Chumash. And lest you think there's any doubt, in his addenda to the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs never lists settling in Eretz Yisrael as one of the Tayag Mitzvahs. And there's a lot of literature as to why the Rambam left it out. Okay, some say he agrees fully it's a mitzvah, it's just subsumed under something else. It's subsumed under the fact that you are supposed to drive the inhabitants out. Obviously, it's, they should live there. Whatever it is, but the Ramban in his hasogas, his addenda to the Essen, Shichas Essen, he thinks Rambam left out certain mitzvahs. Number four on his list in Source 45, mitzvah reviyah shenitztavino lareshes haaretz. That's a mitzvah. He says this should have been counted as one of Tarek mitzvahs. However, he gets back to number 613, not our issue now, but he says this is something the Rambam left out, okay? And the mitzvah is commanded, is given to Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, and below Nazo Biyadzula Seneman, almost we should not leave it under the control of any other nation and so on, and we shouldn't leave it desolate either, we should populate it. And many point out, again, I quoted in 46, the Chuvus Yeshua's Malkut, it's a Yeshua of Kutna, okay, in the 1800s, Yerodeya Simon Samach Lov, he says, according to the Ramban, the Iker Mitzvah is Yerusha V'Yeshiva, okay, is, you know, to settle in the land, okay. And that, what he discusses is a question, is it also a mitzvah of conquest or it's part of the same? All right, I don't go into all of that now, but just that's the step towards it. It's important, but it you know, the Iker mitzvah, you know, is to settle into the land, okay? Now, the Tash Beitz, that was the father of the Rashbash, that's of Shimshon, of Shimon ben Tzemach Duran, in his Chuvus Chel Gimel, Simon Reish Peches, okay? Somebody asked him the question, someone was going to Eretz Yisrael, and he died along the way before he got there. So does he get credit for any kind of mitzvah? So he writes in the answer in 47, Hadira be'Eretz Yisrael mitzvah gedola. Okay, living in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah, because the mitzvah is yirashtembo, okay, you have yishavtembo, is to inherit, is to dwell and to settle in the land. That's the mitzvah, all right? Now, his son, again, in another tshuva, the Rashbash, okay, in his son, which is in Siman Aleph of his tshuva's Rashbash, he says there are really three different things, 40, if you spell it out. Ha'echad ha'yeshiva, the ultimate mitzvah is dwelling in the land, right? The yeshiva is living in the land. But you need two things to get to that point. Okay, you need to get you need to conquer the land. Okay, you need to go there, right? To one is Aliyah, you have to get there and all, you know, and get a hold of the land, and you have to build it up. So he said, but the Iker Mitzvah is the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. If that's the case, it's hard. You're hard pressed to see what mitzvah is they're visiting. Right, the whole thing is to conquer the land and to dwell in it, to build it up and so on, so you can live in there. So it's hard to say, again, we saw it, but I don't know, it's hard to say that it's a mitzvah to visit. However, there's something else. There's a Gemara in Sota, Daf Yud Dalam and Aleph, famous Gemara. The Gemara says, Darash Rab Simloi, 49. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu very much wanted to go live in Eretz Yisrael, right? He davened Veschanon 515 tefillahs, kept asking Hashem again and again, please let me go into the land, please, etc., etc., right? So the Gemara asks, what was he so desperate to go into Eretz Yisrael for, right? He wanted to taste the fruit, he wanted to have a Jaffa orange, or a falafel, a shawarma, something like that. Well, what was he so desperate to go into Eretz Yisrael for? So the Gemara says, no, Elakacha Moshe, Harbe mitzvahs nitzavu Yisrael, ein miskaymen Eretz Yisrael, because there are a whole bunch of mitzvahs that you can't fulfill other than Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to be mekayim the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael. That's why. Akanes anila art kadesh yiskaymu kol yadi. It's because of his love for mitzvahs. Chacham leiv yikach mitzvahs. He wanted to do more mitzvahs. He can't do that in Chutzot. That's why he wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael. So the Meshech Chochmon parshas were eight. Dvarim perik yod aleph pasuk lamed aleph. Yushtim asav yishavtem bo. Right? He quotes that Rabban that it's a mitzvah and so on. But he asks an interesting question. He says, one second. Why did the Gemara give that answer? Why did the Gemara say, well, the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael was because he wanted to mekayim all the mitzvahs of Tois Baretz. Why did the Gemara say, well, what do you mean? Because there's a mitzvah to go into Eretz Yisrael, right? That's why. There's a mitzvah living there, so that kufa is a mitzvah. That's the Meshech Chochmah and others ask that kasha. Okay, in other words, why did the Gemara give a simpler answer to the question? Just say, he wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael because there's a mitzvah to go into Eretz, to live in Eretz, especially going to Ramban, right? It's a mitzvah to settle Eretz Yisrael. So why? That's why he wanted to go in. Right, so he gives a teretz. The Meshech Chochmah does well. He's already in Averly Arden, so he was mekayim that particular mitzvah because he lived on. He was on the eastern bank, and that's for certain purposes part of Eretz Yisrael. And he mekayim the mitzvah being over there. So the Gemara to come up with something different. But I think the question, interesting question, no? In other words, the question is being. Why don't you just so you see from there that maybe the whole purpose of going into Eretz Yisrael is actually ultimately so that you'll be able to mekayim the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael. Right now, that entails, that's a value in its own right. Now, of course, there's a mitzvah to build up the land and live in the land. The Rabbi Yaakov Emden in the Moruk Tzia, that's his commentary on the Torah in Siman Shin Vav 51, he says really two things. Okay, there's a mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and he calls mitzvahs Melech Yalein Liyashiv Arzo, the king, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has commanded us to dwell in his land and so on. Right, and besides that, there's also another mitzvah to keep the various other mitzvahs and so on. So there's two different things, okay, that he mentions. It's not just the chovas karka, the agricultural mitzvahs, but there's a mitzvah by itself. What I want to get at is one could argue that even by visiting Eretz Yisrael, well, you are able to mekayim some of the agricultural mitzvahs. When you're there, you chayav in truma, or for the shmita year and so on. So if you hold that the purpose behind the mitzvah of settling Eretz Yisrael is to be mekayim mitzvah Eretz Yisrael, well, even a visitor can do that. Even a visitor, while you're there, you're going to keep all the mitzvahs of Tois Baretz. It's a fascinating Chassam Sofer. I just felt I had to show you. I pointed out in the past. Chassam Sofer is in his commentary to Sukkah, Parakel of Agazel, Lamed Vav Ben Aleph, Dima Maschel Doma. Okay, 52. He says, Rabbi Shmuel explained the pasuk Safta Deganecha in Kriya Shmuel, right? You have to harvest the land. He said, that's in Eretz Yisrael, where there's a mitzvah to harvest the land. And again, what he's talking about is not our issue now, other than to say that avoda bekarka gufa mitzvah mishum yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Working the land in Eretz Yisrael is the mitzvah of yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The Chassam Sofer was not known for being a Zionist or something, you know.
I only know this because I'm a B'nai Akivanik, but this is not in a lot of gear cells.
That's a question. That's a question. But it also, by the way, appears in his commentary on the Chumash.
But it's weird how they took it out of some gear cells.
Yeah, it was excised out, yeah. Right. But he says that, and look what he says. It's a fascinating comment. He says, just like a person won't say, I'm not going to put on tefillin because I'm Osik B'Torah now. I'm learning now. I'm not going to put on tefillin. You can't say that. So too, a person can't say, I'm not going to work on building up the land of Eretz Yisrael. I'm busy learning. Go tell that to the Kol people. Right? But that's what the Chassam Sofer says. And the truth is, the Avnei Nezer, who's a Sacha Chava Rebbe, writes in one of his tshuvas, a very important tshuva, Chelek Eredeis Simen Tof Nun Dalet. He talks about what the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is, why the Rambam didn't count it. And he also talks about why people like him, who's a Rebbe living in Sokhachev in Poland, which is not far from Warsaw, he says, why didn't go to Eretz Yisrael? So he writes, I'll say it outside, 53, but it's worth taking a look at. He says, if somebody lives in Eretz Yisrael, physically living in Eretz Yisrael, but he doesn't do anything in terms of, you know, the economy and building up the land, he just lives off of what they send him. He's a Chassidish Rebbe, so what's he going to live off of? They're going to send him kitlach and money from Chutz Oretz. So he said, that's not Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. That's not Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. What kind of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? Then he brings a raya. He said, that's why Yaakov Avinu, when he came back from the house of Lavan, it says he got rid of all the stuff and he made a whole pile. He made a whole pile of all the Nichse Chutzorts and a Kedaili, he said. I don't want to come back to Eretz Yisrael and bring anything from Chutzorts. I want to build up Eretz Yisrael, so to speak. In any event, that's what he says, that there's no mitzvah, perhaps. Look at the end of 53. He says, Mamela had Dorim Eretz Yisrael, Misparnasimimos Chutzorts. They live off of money sent them Chutzorts. Lanias Daiti Shemimatim Mitzvah. The Eno Boro Kai Mikaimam. I'm sure you're fulfilling the mitzvah. Well, okay, if you say like that, but there's the other aspect that I mentioned before of, you know, if you hold that's the whole mitzvah, fine. But if you hold that there's, it's important to be in Eretz Yisrael, to mekayim the mitzvah, to his bar, as I said before, even a visitor is able to do that. And I would add something else to the Avnei Nezer. Even if your money today is coming from Chutz Laretz, but spending it there supports a Jewish economy. See, in the days of the Avnei Nezer, that was a British economy. You know, or maybe before that, Turkish economy. So, Taka, to have money sent to you from Chutz Laretz and then you spend it to build up the British or the Turkish economy, so that's Taka not Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Today, one could argue that a visitor Eretz Yisrael, not only you have to keep the mitzvah to his bar when you're there, but also by spending money, you go and you buy souvenirs and you take taxis and you stay in a hotel and you go out to dinner or whatever else people do when they go to Eretz Yisrael, you know, and you spend money there. So, then you're Taka supporting the economy of Eretz Yisrael. That's also Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So that's why I think today we could say even more so that visiting Eretz Yisrael. But I think today the Avnei Nezer may not make that statement. He was saying at a time when it wasn't a Jewish economy in Eretz Yisrael. But now, spending money in Eretz Yisrael, so there's two things. It's doing the mitzvahs and spending. So for that reason, perhaps, it's a visit. So that's one thing a person to do, can visit Eretz Yisrael. But there's something else as well. 54, there's something else a person can do, even if you can't visit Eretz Yisrael, you can't visit Eretz Yisrael often. And that is, you can acquire land in Eretz Yisrael. You buy property in Eretz Yisrael, property from a non-Jew. There's a fascinating Gemara in Gittin Ches Amud Beis. They're talking there about Surya, which is adjacent to Eretz Yisrael, not exactly the same as our Syria, but the same general area. The Gemara says, buying land there is like buying Eretz Yisrael. For what purpose? So again, I'm not interested in Surya now, but the Gemara says, Amar of Sheshes, Shlomar Shekosin Olav Ono Afilu B'Shabbos. You can write up the bill of sale when you buy land in Eretz Yisrael. You can write up the bill of sale even on Shabbos. So where is Shabbos? Oh, really? On Shabbos? I mean, what are you talking about? No, what it means is, you tell a non-Jew to do it. Okay? And even though, you're allowed, ordinarily, I'm not allowed to tell a non-Jew on Shabbos to do something I can't do for myself on Shabbos. We know that's called Amir L'Nachri, Amir L'Akum. But the Gemara says for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, yeah, you can't violate Shabbos, you can't write on Shabbos. Okay, it's a Malacha Daraisa. You can't do it even for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. But you can forego the Darabanan of Amir Lanachri and Telagoy for the purpose of buying land in Eretz Yisrael, because that's the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And as Rashi says in 55, Gittin Chesam Beis Mishuv Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Legarish Oid Kav Leishuv Yisrael, to get the non-Jews, he doesn't own it anymore, now a Jew owns it. Right, and Tosus says there in Gittin Chesam Beis 56, Mishumitzacheres lana matir mamir laovik kachav melacha daraisa. We wouldn't allow a non-Jew to do something for a different mitzvah. It's unique din of mitzvah. That's a machlokes, but that's what the Tosus says. It's unique din by Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. How do we know that's true? Fascinating. Rav Zevin points out in an article. Yerushalmi in Moed Katan Perek Beis Halacha Dalad says based on psukim. I'm not going to read the whole Yerushalmi now because it's getting late. But the Yerushalmi says based on psukim. Psukim in Sefer Yehoshua. What was the first piece of Eretz Yisrael to be conquered? It was the city of Yericho. And when did that happen? When the walls came tumbling down? On Shabbos. The Psukim say in Yeshua, Parag Vav, Psukim Gimel Dal, 58, the Sabos and Asir surround the city once every day for 6 days, and the seventh day you walk around seven times, blow shofar, and the walls will come tumbling down. So the Yerushalmi says, that's the Mokar. They were allowed to conquer Eretz Yisrael even on Shabbos. And the very first part of Eretz Yisrael conquered, brought on the Jewish sovereignty, was Yericho. And that was on Shabbos. So Amela says, Yerushalmi, that's the Mokr, Rashalmi Mod Cotton Park, Bezal Chalav, 57. And I printed the Karbonet and the Premosh. You can take a look at it, the commentaries on the page. There, I explain that this is Mutter. That's the mukkar for the heter on Shabbos to, and that's a din. The Rambam writes in the Chushabbos Perk Vav Alach Yud Aleph 61. Alokeach Bayis Beretz Yisrael Min Agoy Mutar Lo Lomar Lagoy Lichtav Lo Shtar B'Shabbos. You can write up the document on Shabbos. So even though Amir Lagoy in general Amir Lachman not allowed on Shabbos, Shemisha Eretz Lo Gozer Rabbanan Zeh Rabbanan weren't goes there in this situation. And the Shulchan Aruch has the same din. Simin Shin Vav Orachaim Sif Yud Aleph Mutar Lichtav Bayis Beretz Yisrael Min Aeri Eno Yehudi B'Shabbos Bechosu Malabar Kos. You can do whatever legally has to be done in the courts, their courts, and so on. And when it's only this is Rabbanan, because of Yishu Eretz Yisrael, that's what Shabur explains, you know, writing it in different language, has a few details about it. But in any event, so that, what's clear from there is that there's a mitzvah to settle, to even acquire land in Eretz Yisrael. And that is a kiyum as well. And the truth is, the Ramban in that same piece in Hasogas on the Sefer HaMitzvos, number 4, he says, because kibush is not only military conquest. The mitzvah of kibush and yeshiva, conquer the land and to settle. That's not only that's Yoshua and some of that's not only then. He says, harin etzavina b'kibush b'cholodoris. That's in all generations. But Omar and I said that's why it's important to go there. So anytime Jews go into Eretz Yisrael, that's conquest of the land. And he says in the end, Im Kane mitzvah selendoros, Mishaev kol yochid men afilu bizman golos, even when we live in golos, you acquire land in Eretz Yisrael, that's a mitzvah. And the Tashbetz, another place, in Chelek Aleph, in one of his tshuvas, Chelek Aleph, Simon Chof Aleph, also says like that, that again, it's at least a Hechsher mitzvah and so on, and certainly if you're going there for at least a month, that's considered for mezuzah purposes, you know, a permanent time and so on, so therefore you're allowed to violate. And his son, again, the Rashbash and Simon Aleph, says the Iker Mitzvah is the yeshiva living there, and therefore, again, that's permitted to do it on Shabbos. That's why the Avnei Nezer writes in a tshuva, in some, that same tshuva, Simen Tov Nundal, Os Chaf Aleph, before we looked at Os Yud Ches, and Os Chaf Aleph, he writes, Kama Gedola Mitzvah Liknos Todos Beretz Yisrael. How significant it is to purchase land in Eretz Yisrael. So that's a way, even someone who's not going to live there, but you get to rent it to another Jew or something, keep it in Jewish control, that's itself a mitzvah. So that's another way we can connect Eretz Yisrael. Another way is by supporting the people who do live there. The Pasuk says in Parshas Re'eh, Dvarim Perek Tetzvav, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, it says, Pasuk Zayin, talking about supporting the poor. Kiyebicha Evyon. And it says, Be'achad sharecha ba'artzecha, in your city and in your land, which Hashem will give you. So lo sametz levavcha, don't be stingy, as you support. Give tzedakah. It's one of the sources of the mitzvah of tzedakah. So Rashi says, since it says sharecha, the famous rule from the Sifrei, Aniyei ircha, kol mil aniyei ercheres. That's a din. You're supposed to support the people in your local town above and beyond any other poor people. The Sifrei takes it a step further in Pisca Kuf Tezayin 70. Bachad Sharecha Yoshe Ircha Kod Mil Yoshe Iracheres. Ba'artzecha Yoshe Oretz Kod Mil Yoshe Chutzoretz. A Jew in Eretz Yisrael who needs money, it's more important to support him than to support a Jew from Chutzoretz. But what it doesn't say, what is the conflict in those two? In other words, yes, a local person takes precedence over non-local. Eretz Yisrael takes precedence over Chutzoretz. But what about local versus a Jew from Eretz Yisrael? So the Bach in Yoredeus and Reish Nun Aleph in Ozdal 71, a local person takes precedence over a local person in Chutzoretz. If you live there, takes precedence over someone from Eretz Yisrael. He said, Ania Iro b'Chutzoretz pshita de kovin l'ania erachars afila him Eretz Yisrael. And that's how the Tzach learns. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say. Shulchan Aruch just says in some Reish Nun Aleph, Yoredeus Siv Gimel, it says both rules. Aniyo Iro Kodman Aniyo Erecheres. Local people take precedence over non-local people. And Yosher Eretz Yisrael, Kodman Yosher Chutzoretz. But the Shach says, based on that Bach, but Masha, your local people take precedence even over Jews of Eretz Yisrael. But the Pas HaShulchan, the back page now, to move to finish up, in 74, the Pas HaShulchan, that's written by Rishol of Shklov, who was a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, who wrote sort of like a Shulchan Aruch style work on the laws of Eretz Yisrael. So he writes in Simon Beis, Hilchas Eretz Yisrael Simon Beis, in the Beis Yisrael section of Schof Tes, he says, you give it to Eretz Yisrael Jew over a Chutzoretz, even a local Jew. Why? He says, look what he says in 74, b'nisnaso l'yosh Eretz Yisrael mekayim beiz mitzvahs. Because when you give to someone Eretz Yisrael, you fulfill two mitzvahs. One, l'hachis aniim, tztake, to an ani. Two, ulekayim yishuv Eretz Yisrael. You're also mekayim yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So apparently giving money to or supporting people living in Eretz Yisrael, aside from tztake, that itself is a mitzvah. And the Chidah and the Birkei Yosef there in Sukkot and Beis says that that's a question whether we pass like that. But in one of his other works called the Pnei David, that's the, one of the Chidahs from on Chumash, in Parshas Re'eh, he says that maybe in the Bach, he discusses, is there a difference? Is the person collecting for himself? Is he collecting to taka build up Eretz Yisrael? Maybe that takes precedence according to everybody. But Hayotzi Midvoreinu is that that's another way we can make Haim Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, even living in Chutz Laretz. You can visit, you can buy land, or you can support people who live there. The last thing I just wanted to mention, okay, and then we'll finish with this, is, you know, the Psukim tell us in Parshas Ekev, the second Parsha of Kriyashma, at Perek Yidala, starting Pasuk Tazayin, Hishomru Lachem, right, to don't do a worship of other gods, and Pasuk Tazayin, V'chorav Hashem will get angry, and it says, V'adamalos tenisivula, V'abartem aher, be driven out of the land. Now, we already saw that in our Sedra Nachremos. This is later in Ekev. We're driven on land, and therefore in Yilches, make sure to keep all the mitzvahs. Sifrei, in Parshas Ekev, Piska Mem Gimel, is a fascinating comment. Dovar Acher Vavarata Mehera, the juxtaposition of being driven out of the land at the end of Pasuk Yitzayin, and the next Pasuk Yilches, which says, V'samtem is Dvar Eila, keep all the mitzvahs, put on your heart, and so on, and fill in everything. What's the juxtaposition? Says the Sifrei, even if I drive you out to Meretzol into Chutz Laretz, hey, you mitzuyanim b'mitzvahs. Do the mitzvahs anyway. Why? So when you come back to Eretz Yisrael and you have to keep the mitzvahs, they won't be like foreign. They won't be like they're brand new. Okay? And he gives a mashal, you know, the even person driven out of the king's house should stay in the fancy clothing. Fine. Rashi says in Dvarim on Perek Yud Pasuk Yud Ches 79, Af la'acha shetiglu, even after you sent him the galus, keep the mitzvahs. For example, hanichu tefillin. That's what's next in Kriyashma, right? Keep tefillin. Wear tefillin. Asum mezuzas. Why? Kidei shelo yu lachem chadoshim kishetachzuru. So they won't be new to you when you come back. So the obvious question is like, what? You have to keep tefillin and wear tefillin and put mezuzas up anyways. That's not a mitzvah tulis ba'aretz. What do you mean? It sounds from here that we're saying, do these mitzvahs in Chutz Laretz. It'll be like a spring training. So, you know, the preseason. So when you come back to Eretz Yisrael, they're fresh. They won't be like brand new, like you hadn't done them in so long. What do you mean? You have to keep those. If you would tell me to keep truma in Chutz Laretz, and by the way, some had the gear, so it says, tough vav men, it didn't mean tefillin and mezuzah, it meant truma samayis. But that doesn't go with the sifrei. Okay? What I'm saying is, if you would have told me, okay, keep some mitzvah in Chutz Laretz that doesn't really apply in Chutz Laretz, but you want to keep it so you'll know how to do it when you get back there, so I understand. But tefillin, mezuzah, those apply 100% in Chutz Laretz too. And the Ramban in our Sedra to come full circle here in Parshas Achremos, that same Ramban in Perek Yuches Pasuk Afei 80, he says, he quotes this Pasuk and he quotes this sifrei. And he says, what's going on? Aren't these mitzvahs chovas haguf? Aren't these mitzvahs obligatory on each individual person? Nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael? He says, yeah, enochanami. Look at the last words. Ki ikar kol hamitzvahs liyoshim Eretz Hashem. Even those mitzvahs, we're 100% have to keep them, but there's qualitatively, there's a difference between doing the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael and mitzvahs in Chutz Laretz. And then to finish up, the Netziv comments, the Pasuk says in the Aseres HaDibros, in Parshas Yisro, Shmos Parakov, Pasuk Yibbeis 81, Kabed es Avicha v'simecha, etc., honor your parents. And it says, Al Adom Asher Shem Alkecha no sein loch. Now, in the land of Shem, give it, really? Kibbut Abayim is only, you know, to be in Eretz Yisrael. We don't have to keep Kibbut Abayim here. Of course we do. So the Netziv in the Hamek Dava there says, and he refers to this Ramban, doesn't quote this Ramban, but a different Ramban says similarly. He says, what do you mean, Allah Adama? And it comes to tell us, he says, an Ikar Gadol, okay? That even though the mitzvah of Tus Ba'aretz apply in Chutz Laretz, right? Look at the words he says. Shatora mitzvah se afal gav de mitzvah she'ein Tus Ba'aretz nohagos afil b'chutz Laretz. They're more special in Eretz Yisrael. And that's why, you know, we refer to Eretz Yisrael as special, the land of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So a last thing we can do, I think, being in Chutz Laretz, we can bear in mind that as we observe all the mitzvahs, we're still lacking something. we're still lacking. Even the mitzvahs like tefillin and mezuzah and all the mitzvahs that we have. Okay, we're in Chutz Laretz and we have reasons why we can't go to Eretz Yisrael. Sof kol sof, we can still connect to Eretz Yisrael either through visiting, like we mentioned, or through buying land, like we mentioned, or supporting people who live there. And even keeping in the back of our heads, we do the mitzvahs. Yeah, we have to do those mitzvahs, but ultimately we have to hope that we're able to do the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael, where we have the full 100% quality of those mitzvahs, and that should happen in the Erev Yomeinu, that we should have the opportunity to go to Eretz Yisrael, but in the meanwhile, to remain close and keep Eretz Yisrael in our mind and our tefillahs, that too is in a certain sense, perhaps some form of kiyum of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. I wish everybody a guten Shabbos, and thank you for listening. I'll stay on if somebody has a question that they wanted to ask.